Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Legislators are negotiating now over the state's capital budget and whether to restore some of the roughly $400 million that Governor Dunleavy vetoed. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin says there's a pile of federal dollars on the line, too.
With the vetoes, the state will forfeit at least $22 million from the federal government. Some of the vetoes will cost the state more in federal dollars than they'll save in state funds. But the really big deal is the transportation money. Alaska could lose up to $1 billion federal dollars if the state doesn't fund its share in the capital budget by the end of the month.
I am certainly one who has been encouraging everyone to come together. This is pretty high stakes for all of us in the state.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says she hopes legislators can restore some of the vetoed programs. She and her staff are trying to identify which federal dollars could be lost and what the deadlines are.
Accounts and programs are a little bit different in terms of timing, what happens with state match, whether there are abilities for waiver or delay for that. There's a lot in the mix. So we're busy on this end.
Senator Dan Sullivan, in an emailed statement from his office, said he's optimistic state legislators and the governor can reach agreement on the capital budget and avoid losing federal infrastructure money. Congressman Don Young says he's hopeful, too. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Federal Veterans Affairs Agency plans major expansion in Alaska. Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan says that includes both services and facilities.
In Fairbanks, in the Matsu Valley, in Anchorage, in the Kenai, and in Juneau. That is all in train. That is going to be significant construction. But most importantly, it is going to be able to deliver better services for the men and women who serve in our military.
Sullivan spoke in Fairbanks this afternoon along with U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs Robert Wilkie. Wilkie describes the plans as part of a nationwide push to improve service.
It is my goal to open up the aperture on funds that can come to Alaska to help in the elimination, the prevention of suicide. We're doing that with homelessness, and I think we're on the right path.
Secretary Wilkie says he's presented the largest budget in VA history. $220 billion, money he says can help Alaska as state funds for health and social service programs are cut. Wilkie also pointed to a nationwide VA reform being piloted in the state.
The electronic health record is going to be tested in Anchorage. The reforms of our supply chain be tested here in Alaska. There's a reason for that. It's one place in America where you go and you don't have to explain military service to anyone.
Alaska has the most veterans in the country per capita, but Wilkie noted that half don't access VA programs. The recently launched Mission Act addresses that.
Get people out with this funding into the hinterlands to go find those folks who are not part of our system.
Wilkie and Sullivan spoke after a closed hearing with local veterans. Sullivan says they highlighted a familiar problem.
The VA is a big bureaucracy. It's bureaucratic. It can be frustrating.
Sullivan says the expansion of federal VA facilities and staff in Alaska should help, noting that the state was recognized last year by the VA for most improved patient service. Sullivan and Wilkie emphasize that Alaska's veteran population is expected to increase, with F-35s be based at Eielson Air Force Base and the ongoing buildup of missile defense facilities in the state. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has approved a waste management permit for a controversial mineral exploration project near the communities of Klukwan and Haines. Constantine Metal Resources plans to excavate a mile-long underground ramp at the Palmer Project in order to carry out more exploratory drilling. But as KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, a few things must happen before the next phase of exploration can begin.
Constantine's Vice President of External Affairs, Liz Cornejo, says that a waste management permit was required in order to move on to the next phase of exploration.
With excavating a tunnel, you're taking rock out of the mountain, and then there's water that will flow through the cracks and come out of the mountain as well. So that's considered waste rock and waste water. This permit allows us to have a plan in place that's kind of pre-approved as a contingency plan if we do encounter potential acid-generating rocks.
Constantine developed a plan to treat and discharge the wastewater using a diffuser system. The public had 45 days to review the plan and submit comments to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, or ADEC, before the agency made a final decision on the waste management permit. Shannon Donahue is the Chilkat Watershed Organizer for Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. She is worried about where the water coming out of the tunnel would ultimately end up once discharged through the diffuser system.
There was no testing, there was no dye testing or anything done to determine whether the surface water and the groundwater are connected. And so when you're looking at discharging wastewater into the ground through the diffusers, we don't know whether that's going to wind up in the surface water or not.
Others raised concerns about everything from water quality testing to the risk of avalanches dismantling the diffusal system in the winter. ADEC did issue the waste management permit in the end. The agency altered the final permit based on some of the comments received, but Cornejo says that the changes are minimal and won't affect the company's plans.
There were some minor tweaks to some different monitoring levels and some flows and things, but in general, it's mostly the same as what was initially drafted and allows us to do all the work that we were initially planning to do.
A few years ago, Constantine's permits for mineral exploration at the Palmer Project faced a lawsuit filed by the Chilkat Indian Village of Klokwan and several conservation groups. The plaintiffs say that the Bureau of Land Management did not take into account the environmental impact of future mine development when it approved permits for the first phase of exploration. A federal court upheld BLM's decision, but an appeal has been filed since then. Jessica Plakta is the executive director of Lynn Canal Conservation, one of the groups involved in the lawsuit. She says this most recent permit decision is disappointing, but not surprising.
Agencies in the state of Alaska are very permissive when it comes to mine development, and so this is what we expected. However, it does represent a step toward a very real hazard in our watershed.
Although Constantine has secured a waste management permit, there are a few more steps before excavation can begin. The Alaska Mental Health Trust owns the land where the tunnel's entrance is located and will need to approve a final plan of operations. But Cornejo says that the biggest missing piece is funding.
This is a major investment in the property and it's going to require a lot of capital. So we'll be working toward putting that plan together, the budget and the contractors and the financing for that together now to hopefully get started next spring.
Cornejo estimates once they have secured the funding, it will take about a year to construct the tunnel. It's unclear how long the tunnel would stay in place, but she says that if a mine were developed in the future, the tunnel could be used as a secondary access point. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Meeting in Fairbanks on Wednesday, the State House Finance Committee held the last of three marathon public hearings on a bill that would restore funding for projects, programs, and services vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy and reduce the amount of this fall's permanent fund dividend check. Over more than 8 hours, hundreds of people testified in person at the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office, called in, or emailed comments from around the state. Many, like Fairbanks resident Brian Kassoff, spoke in favor of the bill.
The governor's vetoes and sweepbacks threaten the future prosperity and health of our state while unnecessarily punishing the most vulnerable members of society. Not only will they leave people without housing, access to health care, or the ability to keep the lights on, but they will also damage the state for a generation or more.
Another testifier, Carolyn Leffler of Fairbanks, said the PFD has eroded the democratic process in Alaska.
And collapsed our civic narrative to one issue. An issue easily manipulated by dubious politicians to divide us. We've lost any sense of fiscal responsibility and collectivism. I, for one, am ready to have some skin in this game. Tax me. Take the PFD. When we all start paying into our statewide community, we're far more likely to hold our elected officials accountable and ourselves accountable.
Others who addressed the legislators, like Paul Doak of Fairbanks, spoke in favor of Governor Dunleavy's take that the permanent fund dividend should be paid, according to the 1982 formula, regardless of the status of government finances.
This is not a socialistic society. This dividend has precedence for being delivered based on the figures, not based on how much money gets spent by the government.
Another Dunleavy backer, Christine Robbins, took issue with the perspective that the annual dividend is free money Alaskans don't deserve.
The PFD belongs to the people of Alaska. As a citizen, it is my share in the wealth of the state in exchange for me giving up my mineral rights. It is our inheritance. To take any portion away without the consent of the people is outright theft.
The Fairbanks hearing followed similar House Finance Committee hosted sessions Monday and Tuesday in Anchorage and Wasilla. And we have a correction to a story we aired yesterday about University of Alaska climate change researchers. We misstated that the Alaska legislature had yet to decide if it would override line item budget vetoes. The window to override the vetoes has closed. The funding could be restored through other legislative action. And looking at the National Weather Service forecast for Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island, tonight, chance of rain, lows in the mid-50s, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. In the Menhall Valley, lows around 50. Saturday, patchy fog, chance of rain, highs around 60. Sunday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. And that is the KTUO News Update for Friday, July 19th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.